We're looking at these I am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel. And this morning we're looking at John chapter 14, verse 6. God willing, Daniel tonight is going to look at the final I am saying of Jesus in John 15. But in John 14, verse 6, these words of Jesus, where Thomas in verse 5 asks Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The BBC and the British media generally seem determined to do one thing, which is to destroy the notion that there is only one way to God. The whole pressure of the media is we can't possibly believe something so old-fashioned as that. Last week, two street preachers, Michael Overd and Michael Stockwell, were convicted in Bristol of a public order offence. It's a very insightful trial. The public prosecutor claimed that publicly quoting parts of the Bible in modern Britain should be considered abusive, and that it is a criminal offence. This is what he told the court. "Although the words preached are in the Bible, this does not mean that they are incapable of amounting to a public order offence in 2016. And during the four-day trial, the prosecutor also argued, to say to someone that Jesus is the only way to God is not a matter of truth. So you see what he's saying? He's saying, to say that Jesus is the only way to God should be considered abusive in Britain in 2016, 2017. The things that were being complained about took place in 2016. The two men were convicted. There is an unmasked hostility today towards the belief that there is one way of salvation. Now, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone has never been popular. But there is increasingly fierce criticism today for daring to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And why is it in our society generally that people are uncomfortable with that claim? Well, given the mobility of modern life, we're living in a large city here in London, people from all over the world are living all around us. You work with people from different backgrounds, different religious preferences. The world has grown smaller. So in that multicultural setting, how can we possibly believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God? That's a very unenlightened view in today's world, it said. It's out of bounds. And Christians in the workplace, in social settings, often then feel defensive about this issue. We don't like to be called hate mongers or intolerant or bigoted. And we've certainly become aware of the spread of Islam in recent years in the UK. The social culture has changed. We have neighbours whose religion is different. And so in the UK we face this pressure, and we also face the pressure to reduce all religious differences to a sort of lowest common denominator approach. All religions are equal. Now, I think to say that all religions are equal is a thing that thoughtful followers of every religion will not agree with. If you ask some people here this morning who are from a Muslim background, is Islam the same as Christianity? I'm sure they would answer you, no. You talk to a Muslim friend for a while and you find what the Muslim believes, what a Christian believes, those things are radically different. Talk to a Buddhist, and what a Buddhist believes is different from the Muslim and different from the Christian. And the same is true for Judaism, for Hinduism, and so on. It's easy to say, oh, all roads lead to heaven. But when you study the map carefully, you find the roads are not leading in the same direction. We need a road map that tells us what is the way to heaven? What is the way to God? What is the way to a right relationship with God? What is the truth? How can we have eternal life? So I want us to think this morning, first of all, about this question. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? We need to consider his words very carefully. Where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if words mean anything, that is an exclusive claim by Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying, without him, there is no way to God. If you this morning decide Jesus is not for you, God does not have a plan B. And you see, it's very personal. You're not saved by religion or by the church, Jesus Christ says. You're saved by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ doesn't say, I know the way. He says, rather, I am the way. So Jesus calls you to follow him and trust him personally. He is the way that leads to the truth and leads to eternal life and leads to God. Now, that is not only the claim of Jesus, that is the consistent claim of the New Testament. Peter in Acts 4 verse 12 says, there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the Bible is clear. No other way, no other name, no other foundation. Or as 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God and one mediator. A mediator is a go-between. One God and one mediator between God and men, God and us this morning, the man Christ Jesus. So the gospel involves this truth. Our sins separate us from God. We need a mediator, a go-between, someone who will bring us to God. The gap is eternally wide. We need someone who is eternal to bridge the gap for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one, the God-man, who can bridge the gap. By his death, he paid for our sins. He alone bridges the gap that separates us from God. And by his resurrection from the dead, he's proved to be the Son of God. So no other mediator is necessary and no other mediator is possible. It's only Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who could offer himself for our sins. And so that Jesus did what no other religious leader could ever do. No one else could make an atonement for the sins of the world. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here is Jesus bringing to us this message. The Jesus who says he has no competitors, that there is no one like him, that he alone deserves our worship and trust and love. No one comes to the Father, says Jesus, except through me. And that is a claim which Jesus means. The issue then is not about our emotions or our preferences. The issue is the truth. It's not about sincerity. I don't doubt the sincerity of those who follow Islam or Hinduism or whatever. But sincerity matters when it's applied to the right object. You can be sincerely wrong and you will still be wrong. You can sincerely drink rat poison and you will be sincerely dead. Believing the wrong thing sincerely doesn't make it right. So Jesus is saying here, God's heart is very wide. But the way to life is exclusive. There's one way to God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. So here are his words, which if you trust in him, will take you to God, take you to eternal life, take you to heaven. These five words contain enough truth to save the whole world. Only Jesus and Jesus only. I'd encourage you to say those words in your heart. Only Jesus and Jesus only. And that God will help you to put your trust in Jesus Christ this morning. He is saying he is the way, the only way to God. The second question is, who does the Lord Jesus Christ speak to then? Here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to troubled hearts. Before you shrug off the words of Jesus and say, oh, I can't possibly believe this exclusive claim, I want you to apply them to a troubled heart. You see, if you've never felt troubled that your sin before God is a troubling thing, oh yes, then you shrug off these words of Jesus. But when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, the amazing claim of the Bible is because Jesus Christ has been troubled for us, we need not be troubled. Jesus has walked into trouble for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken that trouble to his own heart and soul. He says the way out of trouble is to come to know him and to believe upon him and to know a Father in heaven who cares for you, who cared enough for you to send his only son to die for you. His son was troubled for you. He went to the cross for you. He walked into the fire of trouble. So Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room with the 11 disciples. Judas has left to betray him. Except for John and perhaps Peter, the other disciples didn't know who the betrayer was. But they were troubled. Jesus would be betrayed. He's heading towards the trouble even of death on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ has announced he's leaving them. These are men who left their jobs and their families to follow him. They were ecstatic. A few days before, he'd ridden into Jerusalem to the cheers of the crowd. And now he's talking about his death. And then to top it off, he says to Peter that Peter would deny him three times. These men were troubled. So the Lord's emphasis is to comfort troubled hearts. These are men who will witness his execution. And if you apply them, these words can bring comfort to your troubled heart this morning. You see, I'm saying faith is as good as its object. Who are you believing upon? Trusting a faulty aeroplane won't make it fly. Everything in the Christian life depends on the correct answer. This question of Jesus, who do you say that I am? If here the Lord Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be and who all of the Bible proves him to be, then he is trustworthy in every circumstance, every trial you encounter. He's the one to believe upon. Let not your heart be troubled. Or as it's been put like this, if Christ is raised from the dead, nothing else matters. If Christ is not raised from the dead, nothing matters. We can eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Jesus here claims to deserve equal faith with God. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is claiming to be on the same level of God when it comes to trust. Now, no mere man could say, you trust in God, to the same degree, trust also in me. But that's the claim Jesus makes. It's a call to the world. It's a call to you this morning. Jesus is saying, believe also in me. Only Jesus and Jesus alone. Now, either the Lord Jesus here is wrong, he's a crazy enthusiast, or this is someone who's claiming to be equal with God. God manifest in the flesh. So you can't separate faith in God, Jesus is saying, from faith in Jesus. You believe in God, believe also in me. And here's how Jesus' claim can help a troubled heart. Believing that in Jesus will mean that you have access to a gracious Father in heaven through faith in him. You can bring all your troubles into the very presence of God, the God who created the universe, the God who sustains all things, the God who sent his Son into the world. And Jesus also claims here to be the unique revealer of God. Listen to what he says to Philip in verses 7 to 9. Jesus goes on to say, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip, another disciple, said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? We're thankful for Philip's inappropriate question, because Jesus replies another clear claim to be God, equal with God. And this brings comfort then to the troubled heart. In a time of trouble, God can seem distant, far away, removed. The fact that he's invisible makes it difficult to trust in him. And so Jesus is saying, look to him. Look to the Saviour who was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. He reveals God to us. He reveals to us the tender mercies of God. He reveals to us the help we need from God. To believe in Jesus, he's saying, is to believe in the Father. Jesus believes, as he speaks here, that he is the way then to God. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us. The Spirit reveals Jesus Christ to us. Now, this claim of Jesus to be the way to God is a claim that is proved by his words, proved by his works. Jesus' miracles reported to us by credible eyewitnesses, people who are willing to lose their lives if necessary. They fully believed Jesus was the way, the truth, the life. So Jesus challenged to us, verse 11, believe me, he said. Believe me. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ isn't a vague sort of thing. I believe for every star that falls, a flower grows. It's not that sort of faith. We believe what the Lord Jesus Christ claimed, that he deserves equal faith with God, that he's the way to God, he's the revealer of God, he's intimate union with the Father. Believe because of his words, believe because of his works, and that will bring comfort to your troubled heart. What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying? He's saying his whole purpose in coming into the world is to introduce you this morning to the Father. There's a great picture in Ian Murray's biography of the preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's in the second volume of Ian Murray's biography. Dr. Marjorie Blackley is a physician to the Queen, and she is introducing Lloyd-Jones, the preacher, to the Queen. And if you ever get hold of the second volume of Ian Murray's biography, you can look at the picture and look at the expressions on the faces of the Queen, Marjorie Blackley, who's doing the introduction, and Lloyd-Jones' face as he's being introduced to the Queen. It's a great picture. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, when you come to know me, I introduce you to my Father in heaven. It's as if this morning the Lord Jesus Christ takes you by the hand And he says, I'm the one who can introduce you to my Father in heaven. I'm the one who can come and introduce you. Let me introduce Kofi to my Father in heaven. That's what he's saying. Let me introduce Diana to my Father in heaven. Let me introduce Famara to my Father in heaven. And if you look at the picture in Ian Murray's biography, of course, people are dressed up to the nines because they're going to be introduced to the Queen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who cleans you up as well. He cleans you up and he introduces you to his Father in heaven. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to. People are going to be introduced to his Father in heaven by him who is the way, the truth, and the life. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Who does the Lord Jesus Christ speak to? Thirdly then, how should you this morning respond to these words? Well, if you're a Christian here this morning, I trust that the words of Jesus Christ will bring a word of promise and comfort to your heart. Jesus says to you, if you're a believer, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Biblical hope is closely allied with biblical faith. Someone has described hope as faith standing on tiptoe. It's looking forward to a promised future. It's not like saying, I hope my favorite team wins the big game today. But you don't know really whether they will win, draw, or lose. Biblical hope is rather like if I tomorrow, for example, watch a replay of Swansea City playing Burnley yesterday. Now, I know what happened in that game. And I know the score. I know the outcome. I know in the last few minutes, Llorente scored the winning goal for Swansea. I know Swansea won the game 3-2. But you know, if I watch that game tomorrow, I'll still be involved in it. I'll still be cheering them on, but I know the outcome. I know the outcome, but I would still eagerly watch the game. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the believer this morning, here's something that is certain. This is a hope which is a certain hope. It's like knowing the final score already. The Lord Jesus Christ is making a reservation for believers in heaven. The picture here is of rooms where the Father would add rooms to his house to accommodate children and their families as they live together. Going to heaven, says Jesus, is like going home. It's not like traveling to a foreign country where you don't know the language, you don't know the geography, you don't know the people, you don't know the customs. It's going to a familiar place. Those great words of Isaac Watts when he describes what going to heaven is like as he takes up Psalm 23. And he says, this is what like is for the believer going to heaven. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. That's a sure hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is already there preparing a place for his people. His present ministry of intercession for believers. Your advocate. He'll keep you to that day. It's comforting when you travel to know you have a confirmed reservation. The Lord Jesus Christ promises if you believe upon him, you have a confirmed reservation in heaven. And he says he will return to this world. Where he is, he says to believers, there every believer will be also with him. Now, the certainty of Jesus Christ's bodily return means terror for those who reject him. But he'll come to tread the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, says the Bible. But here's a word of comfort for those who believe upon him. We will always be with the Lord. So for believers, here's a message of comfort and hope. Jesus says to you, I go to prepare a place for you. Some of you this morning here are not Christians. And I trust you've understood the exclusivity of what Jesus Christ is saying here. There's no escaping it, if words mean anything. He's saying he's the only way to the Father. There's no other mediator, no other way to God. He's the only way. Not Islam, not the way of Buddhism, not the way of any of the sophisticated religions of the world, but through Jesus Christ. It's been put this way. Without the way, there is no going. And without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. So if you ask the same question as Thomas asked, it's one of the most important questions you can ask. How can I know the way? Jesus Christ points to himself and he says, I am the way. It's only through me, Jesus Christ says. Unless you come by the way of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, by faith in him, that's the way you come to know the Father. You see, there's the terrible possibility you can hear these words of Jesus Christ and yet still not be a Christian. Because Jesus Christ is saying, in the light of what he declares here, Jesus says, come to me, believe upon me, trust in me. Come to me, believe on me, trust in me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me, believe upon me, follow me, because no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's what I'm inviting you to do this morning. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to do. How can I know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I'd invite you now to join with me as we pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you this morning that we come to the Father only through faith in you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. We pray, Lord, for those who have never come to you in faith before, that even this morning, hearing your word, and by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, there will be those who respond to it, who say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I believe upon you. I trust you. My way, my truth, my life. Cleanse me, forgive me, introduce me to the Father. I come only through you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that those who come in faith like that, turning from sin and self-reliance to trust in you, you are the Saviour who never turns away those who come in simple faith. So, Lord, by your word and by your spirit, work in every heart, and may your name be honored among us here as we come to you this morning. O Lord, we come as Jesus speaks to us. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn which is based on these words of Jesus. And the hymn writer in each of the verses picks up the idea of the way, the truth, the life. You are the way, it's talking of Jesus. You are the way from sin and death. We turn to you alone. For those who would the Father seek must seek him through the Son. So we'll stand to sing this together. Oh God, our Father in heaven, we praise you this morning that we can come to you through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We praise you for the work of the Holy Spirit, who teaches us to trust wholly and lean wholly, rely wholly this morning upon Jesus Christ alone for all our acceptance before God. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.